This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Phillies Today. I am your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, November the 1st. A bittersweet Phillies Today, as this is the last Phillies Today of the season. The World Series has come and gone. Sadly, the Nationals are World Series champs, and it's time for us to end the season here at Phillies Today. We'll be back in February with an early look at everything going on, a recap of what happened so far. If last season is any sign, free agency will dig deep into February, so we'll have lots to talk about. But it's been a wild 2019, and I think that in a lot of ways we are all happy as Phillies fans to move on to 2020. But even though 2019 was not the year we wanted it to be, it certainly had some highs, as, of course, you know, started great with the Harper saga that ultimately ended in John Heyman tweeting that Harper was coming to town, and then that magical press conference, and just a high of that first series against the Braves at home, and the offense just riding high, and what a fun run it looked like it was going to be. And then things just started going wrong, and, you know, Gabe started getting on people's nerves again, and Harper was slow out of the gate. Obviously, eventually ended up having an outstanding season, but slow out of the gate, McCutchen injury, and the bullpen just falls apart. The starting pitching isn't nearly as good as we hoped it would be, or even close to as good as anyone could hope to be. And then it all culminates on the slow burn to 81-81. And then that press conference 8 days after the season that was such a bummer and so disheartening. And then just a short while later, Joe Girardi. And it all starts to look up again. And that's the beauty of baseball. That's why we have such high hopes each season here in Philadelphia, because it is a great fan base. And it's a team that, despite, you know, Joe Girardi maybe in his press conference a little too positive about Philadelphia's past when it comes to winning. We have not had a lot of winning as a franchise, but the winning means so much to us when we have it, because we are always hoping for it and always there and always supporting. And I think Girardi kind of ending the year here in terms of the baseball calendar is really the one high note that I think will really make a difference leading into 2020. And of course, coming off again, the Washington Nationals winning the World Series, of course, the year after Bryce Harper leaves them. Just a very frustrating turn of events. Of course, the wild card team in the National League the Phillies were fighting with, and obviously they were way, 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 way more talented than the Phillies. But still, it hurts. It hurts to see that team in the World Series. So I do think there is, though, a beacon of hope with Joe Girardi there. And I think we've talked a lot about how impressive Girardi was in his introductory press conference, and how he's really a perfect hire from what he brings in terms of clout and cachet to the clubhouse, a bunch of guys who need a leader of men, also experience, resume, melding of analytics and gut, and all the stuff we wanted. I mean, he's a perfect hire. But I also think that something we haven't talked about enough is that it really changes a culture. He's a culture changer, and it's hard to change culture sometimes. And this has been a culture where there has not been a ton of accountability. There's been kind of a lack of not just leadership, but a direction and a steering towards that direction. And I think Girardi really stabilizes that and brings that. And, you know, he's we'll get to a hire he just made, but I think he's assembling a really nice staff around him. And him and Rob Thompson, of course, years together with the Yankees, they'll, you know each other's moves and be able to call each other out. And you need that in a bench coach and a manager. And I just think it's going to change the culture immediately. And I'm really excited where, again, a year that certainly, I think, for the most part, a disappointment at most times with the way it played out and how it played out and even ending with the World Series and the way that played out, just a really disappointing year, especially considering the expectations that came with the Harper signing and, you know, McCutcheon and all these things that they did, especially, obviously, Harper, the real Muto trade. Like, there was real... a palpable excitement about the season in a way there wasn't the years before, where even though they finished one game worse the year before, there was never that level of excitement that came with the moves they made and the addition of Harper and all that stuff. So, you know, and that's what happens when expectations are raised, when the level of anticipation, excitement is raised, then the level of disappointment is naturally going to be higher if things don't go the way you want them to. You know, it's just, it's human, it's natural, and it's not surprising. And that's the way the season played out. And I do think that, you know, the press conference, a low point after the way the season played out. And then I just think that it felt bleak there for a little while and really down. And I do think that, luckily, bringing in Girardi has kind of turned that around a bit and really made a darker situation look a little bit brighter. And I'm excited. I'm already you know, working my way back in. And look, there's a big offseason. We'll talk about that coming up in a sec. But first, I want to mention, as I said, a hire by Joe Girardi. Brian Price hired to be the new Phillies pitching coach, and I just think it's a great hire. Price, of course, managed the Reds for 4 years, has been a pitching coach in the league for a while with the Reds, with the Mariners, the Diamondbacks. He has spent some time in the league. He is a smart guy, a fiery guy, if you ever want to see how fiery, just search Brian Price on YouTube, and I'm sure he'll come up with the time he dropped 77 F-bombs in a six-minute period when he was manager of the Reds. So, yeah, pretty impressive. But certainly has a fire and an intensity. And, you know, that's something that I think is important to have if for this specific club, this pitching staff, a team that really seemed rudderless, and also with Chris Young just wasn't able to relate to them and clearly knows pitching and understands pitching and all that, but couldn't find a way to relate that knowledge to the players and didn't seem to have a good communication. And Brian Price is someone who can come in and talk to these players and understand how to teach them things and is great with mechanics, something the Phillies team really needs. So I think the Brian Price hire, especially someone who has managerial experience, who's done it before, I think it's exciting. It's a nice hire. I'm really happy, especially when they were talking about Larry Rothschild potentially getting the job. Of course, Joe Girardi's pitching coach in New York when he was there, and for a good portion of time, 7 or 8 years, but Rothschild, a much more old school pitching coach. And I think it's nice that Girardi went with someone who I think can relate to today's players a little bit more and is going to be a little bit more open to analytics and all that type of stuff, which I think is important. Of course, the next hire to come along will be the hitting coach. We'll see. Jack Fritz suggested Dante Bichette as a name he's heard, which is interesting. And Dante Bichette, of course, former Rocky. That'd be interesting. He's been a hitting coach before with the Rockies, so I think that's an interesting name. We'll see. Either way, it is nice. It seems like Girardi is really putting together a nice staff, a nice group of guys that have experience and can come in and take a clubhouse that has really kind of, as we know, look, we know the Fortnite stories. We know the Carlos Santana with the bat stuff. We know the no alarm clock stuff with Gabe. There's so many reasons to insinuate that this clubhouse has had a lack of discipline, a lack of accountability, a lack of all that over the last few years. That's done. Joe Girardi comes in, and this group of coaches who has experience, who's been around the block, they're not going to take any of that. It's going to be a much more focused group. They're going to be ready to play. And I think that's going to be massive. I think it's, look, ultimately, I think the front office is the most important part of the team. The obviously, talent acquisition, drafting, and developing of players. Like, that is the heartbeat of a franchise. That is what ultimately wins you and loses you the most games. There's zero question about that. That is a fact. It just is. But I do think that the when you hear people say, oh, managers in baseball don't do that much, I don't think that's true. I think a manager in baseball is important. And not just in an X's and O's way. I think that's where it gets lost. Yeah, it's not like bullpen management is incredibly important, but you don't see managers lose that many games. Although I would argue that A.J. Hinch is by far the biggest reason the Astros lost Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, he had a disastrous Game 7. The decision to not bring Gerrit Cole in and bring Will Harrison was just a monumental all-time bonehead managerial decision as far as I'm concerned. But that's either here or there. But I do think that managers can matter in those spots, but more so matter in what I was talking about before in terms of building a culture, of handling personalities, of making sure guys are prepared, making sure guys understand what they're going to be seeing on a night-to-night basis, a day-to-day basis, what the pitching matchups look like, just understanding and relaying information and making players feel comfortable. That's what a great manager can do. And that makes a big difference. It really does. This is not something that can be underscored. I think it really matters. I think it really matters. And I think Joe Girardi is a perfect guy to come here for this situation and make a massive difference. I really do. I think, again, to go back to what we were saying before, I just think the idea that this has certainly been a year with some lows and some real disappointments. The entire second half of the season, for one. You know, Rhys Hoskins, what happened to him the second half of the season? Massive disappointment. The pitching staff, just god-awful. Massive disappointment. Nick Pivetta, what a disappointment that guy is. This year. I mean, there were so many disappointments. Obviously, the front office. If we don't, we don't. There's so many things to be disappointed about. And, of course, that press conference in the season that just disappointed, discouraged. And, again, like, I know it's just a manager, but I think it signals a bit of a shift here. I think it signals that the organization, at least on a field level, the field manager, the what's happening on a night-to-night basis, who's talking to the media, what's being put out there in the world about this franchise, it's going to be professional. It's going to be run well. It's going to be a well-oiled machine. That matters. I think it really matters, and I think it permeates through an organization. So I'm pretty excited about Girardi. I think it's the again, kind of the one thing that's really kind of turned the narrative for me with the Phillies. I was really disappointed. And now everything gets going because that Girardi has to be the first step. They talked about, Matt Klentak in the press conference with Girardi, the introductory press conference, talked about it's time to win now. There are no more excuses. And I think obviously with the move to bring in Girardi, with Kapler being fired, but the way this all played out, that If the Phillies don't make the playoffs, I would be floored if Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail are back after the season. So I think they know, like, this is a big season. So I think that, and I think they also know that they're not going to make the playoffs if they don't make some serious moves this offseason. This pitching staff is a joke. I mean, it is not close to good enough, both the bullpen and the starters. And this team period isn't good enough. So coming up, we're going to look at the biggest needs here as we look ahead to this offseason, what this Philly team has to do. And again, I do think that with the culture change, with some moves, this team could be in the playoffs next year. They could. And again, it doesn't solve the overall health of the franchise problem of the fact that they have not drafted and developed well for the last good while, and that is something that has to change for the long-term health of the team. But just in terms of 2020, a few moves and they're in it, at least. Maybe they're not favored, but they're in it. Coming up, we'll look ahead to this offseason and what the Phillies need to do, what they hopefully will do, and round out the 2019 baseball season here on Phillies Today. All that's coming up in just a minute. It's James Seltzer. It's Phillies Today. We're coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today. James Seltzer, as we turn the page and look ahead to the offseason as the Phillies now, hopefully after watching the Nationals win the World Series, going to have a renewed fire to come into this season and really do some damage. But first, they have to get some help. There's no question about it that Matt Klentak has some work to do ahead of him. This Phillies team is not good enough. We know that. We just saw that Nationals team win with Strasburg and Scherzer and Corbin. Are you kidding me? Three pitchers who are light years ahead of everyone except Nola on this team. I mean, it just and so much talent top to bottom. Look, we've talked about this before. I think we all know. Yes, the Phillies could absolutely use some help on the offensive side of things, but they are at least good enough to compete there with Bryce Harper. Look, Rhys Hoskins, what is Rhys, is a big question mark, and that's something that's going to have to be answered this offseason and moving forward. Is he the Rhys Hoskins we thought he was, or is he the imposter we saw the last few months of the season? But they need a little bit of help. They need some depth. We talked about the potential for Josh Donaldson at third base. Makes a ton of sense on a 1 or 2 year deal, something like that. Anthony Rendon is a name that could be thought about. It's obviously, I think he's maybe the best right-hand hitter of this generation. That dude is unbelievable. He's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable to watch that guy hit. One of three players ever with home runs in Game 6 and 7 of the World Series. He's way too good. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think more likely, we all know that with what they have, if McCutcheon's going to come back healthy, Jay Bruce, who knows what happens with Corey Dickerson. But they have enough, almost. They need a third baseman. They need to decide what they're doing with Segura at shortstop. There's some decisions to be made. Kingery, where does he play? It's not set. They need to make some moves here and tighten this up, but we all know that this offseason is going to be made or broken on their ability to restock this pitching staff. Aaron Nola is the only starter you feel like you can definitely count on heading into next season. I'm guessing Zach Eflin will probably get a shot, and then you figure, look, Jake Arrieta is going to be in the rotation. It's a shame. It is what it is, but they're not going to eat that money. They should. They should just say, you know what, Jake, get out of here. Take your $20 million and leave. But we know that won't happen. But they need at least two starters. I mean, in reality, they probably need three because Arrieta's not real. And look, Vargas on an $8.9 million one-year thing, like, that's not exciting to me. I mean, they need to go sign Gerrit Cole. That is the number one. It should be the just like last offseason was go get Harper, this offseason has to go get Gerrit Cole. And look, if Strasburg opts out, maybe it's go get Strasburg too. But those are the only two guys who change the foundation of this pitching staff. I mean, look, we just saw it. I mean, are you going up against Strasburg could leave the Nationals, but you can't go up against those three guys and expect to win a series with Aaron Nola, nothing. You can't go up against the Astros with Verlander and Cole and you know, and obviously Cole would be leaving in this case, but these types of rotations, you need that at least second guy. They need it. And Gerrit Cole is the best arm in baseball, potentially. And he's represented by Scott Boras, which is good for the Phillies. John Middleton, Scott Boras are close. I think that might be, as I said yesterday, I think that might be the best thing that John Middleton has done in his tenure is become good friends with Scott Boras. Scott Boras is maybe the most powerful person in baseball. Give us Gerrit Cole, Scott. Give us Gerrit Cole. Bring him home to Philadelphia. That is the biggest move. Then they have to make more moves. Look, Cole Hamels coming home? Sure, that'd be cool. I'm down to have Cole come back, but he can't be the number one guy you get. It has to be a Gerrit Cole type or a Strasburg, but Cole just feels like the right move. And then look, they have to restock the entire bullpen. I mean, there's no one here. I mean, Hector Neris and then, you know, Alvarez. Who else? Who else you got? David Robertson's not coming back. Sir Anthony, who knows, hopefully. But they need to make some moves there. They need some talent in the bullpen. Thank goodness Pat Neshek, they declined his option. See ya. Won't miss you, Pat. Bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Pat. Jeez. But look, they're going to need pitching. They need pitching. It's unbelievable how just clear this is going into offseason. Again, they need to tool up on the offense a little bit. The third base situation, you know, we can't have Michael Franco coming out again. And look, center field is somewhat an upheaval. Is that amazing everyday player? Will they re-sign Corey Dickerson? What does Jay Bruce do for this team? I mean, they've got some parts that don't fit. Segura, is he a shortstop? They have some real question marks on the lineup offensive side of the ball. I don't want to diminish that because they're not set there. But at least you have the infrastructure there with Harper, with Romuto, with McCutchen. You know, I think Kingery's a valuable offensive piece. Segura, even if he's here, is a solid offensive player. And then Hoskins, that's a big question mark, but you hope he's a piece. I think they need one more bopper in there, one more guy you can count on, like a Donaldson, someone else who makes that lineup a little bit more dynamic. And then some other help in other spots. But this offseason is really going to be made or broken on this team's ability to fortify this staff. They're going to have to go spend a lot of money. Again. That's the situation they've painted themselves into. It is. And look, Spencer Howard, maybe he's an answer for you partway through next season. It doesn't look like they're going to start the season with him. And I love that. Spencer Howard's going to be awesome. But, man, it is just, I don't ever remember going into an offseason where the Phillies' needs were just so clear, where it was, don't screw this up, go get some guys who can do this one thing and we can roll. And again, look, they are still not as good as the Astros, not as good as the Nationals, not as good as the Braves. They're teams that are just really talented right now, but they can get close. And who knows, maybe they go Bafo, maybe they sign Cole and Rendon. I don't think that's going to happen, obviously. But if they did something like that, then all of a sudden we're looking at a whole different situation, and then we can start to think differently. But right now, look, the Nationals are way more talented than the Phillies. They just are. But it's also a team that was 19-31 in May and went on a tear and ended up winning the World Series out of the wild card spot. The competition in the NL East is fierce. It's tough to think that you'll win the division, but you can also win the wild card and make some noise if your team's good enough. And this offense with an added piece or two, and this pitching staff with another legit ace and a really good solid guy that you add that you can count on, and then a bullpen, can contend. And again, it actually sounds ridiculous when you say it like that because it sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But this is also a Phillies team that is committed to winning now. John Middleton has said he will spend money many times. He has intimated it. He has said it. He wants to win. He wants to go spend money. So this is it. If they want to win now, and if John Middleton's willing to spend money, that's the way they do it. Go out, pay for pitching, rebuild your bullpen, and roll. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. And it's going to be really interesting to see how committed John Middleton is to spending money, how committed this team is to winning, because they're not that far away. And I think Girardi makes a difference. I think he changes a culture. I think they're better next year, even if they didn't add a bunch of stars, even if they don't do what I'm saying, even if they get Cole Hamels and another solid pitcher and a bat or two, they'll still be better. Joe Girardi will make a difference like that. But they could be legitimately better with some moves. Will it happen? I hope so. I was super confident they'd get Harper Machado last year. They got Harper. I'm less confident they'll get Gerrit Cole. But I think they really can. I think it is on the table. Or Strasburg. Or something like that. So, fingers crossed. We're in for a long offseason because we know how long it takes. The winter meetings come later, and then it's slog. We wait till February, March. We'll be back talking again on Phillies Today before anything crazy happens. You can guarantee that. Some small moves happen, but we'll be back to talk about the big stuff as it's coming up, because that's probably how long it'll take till Cole and all those guys sign. So, Either way, it's going to be a fun ride. And thank you, everyone, for taking the time to take this ride on the 2019 season. Me and I will definitely be back with you for 2020 when hopefully we will finally get back to playoff glory and have something exciting to root for. So until then, thank you for listening to Phillies Today all season right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.